Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're coming to you live this morning, October 19th, from the Mail Processing Center on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College in Edmond, Oklahoma. Last night, the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation hosted an incredible concert by Time for Three, a great string trio. They held this concert in Armstrong Auditorium and were celebrating 20 years of the Cultural Foundation's existence. Now imagine if that Cultural Foundation, if that concert series didn't exist. Imagine if Armstrong Auditorium didn't exist. Imagine if this entire beautiful campus here in Edmond didn't exist. Imagine if our sister campus over in Edstone, England, didn't exist. Imagine if all of the wonderful things that this work produces, the Philadelphia Church of God, didn't exist. Imagine if the entire church itself didn't exist. The subject of today's episode is Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury's booklet, Habakkuk, Victory in Court, Revealed and Prophesied 1 Year Before We Won. This court case that lasted from 1997 to 2003 really did have everything at stake. It wasn't a matter of just the church receiving Mystery of the Ages, the copyright to that great book, or not. Everything was up for grabs. Here is what the introduction to the booklet states. This is Mr. Fleury writing. The Worldwide Church of God leader said it was his Christian duty to keep Herbert W. Armstrong's writings out of print. But the Philadelphia Church of God now owns the copyrights to 19 books and booklets written by Mr. Armstrong. That is the magnificent court victory we have won. God's work has been revived, as prophesied. God gave us the victory even though the appeals court ruled against us. It is the most miraculous event since the Philadelphia Church began. Habakkuk prophesied that it would be a double wonder miracle. God's message to the world could not have been delivered had we lost. The court battle tested the faith of God's people. Most of them have failed that test. Conversely, the miraculous victory revealed who believes God enough to fight for and deliver his end time message. And a lot of the details of this court case that we're talking about reveal that the other side was intent on not only preventing the PCG from receiving Mystery of the Ages, but it also wanted to wipe out this work entirely. If you read the Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet book by Mr. Fleury, you can find all of these pieces of literature at thetrumpet.com. You will understand that the entire first 7 years of the PCG, the main focus was on reaching the Laodiceans. These are God's people who have rebelled and left his church. But after that, the main focus of the church became reaching the largest audience possible. This was something that Mr. Armstrong often talked about before he died in 1986. So reaching the largest audience possible, could that be done without Mr. Armstrong's foundational writings? God used this man to restore all things to his church. What could the church today do in terms of reaching the world if they didn't have what Mr. Armstrong wrote? Here's a quote from page 3 of the booklet. And it's important to point out at this point that this entire first chapter of the Habakkuk booklet was written in the Royal Vision magazine 1 year before the court battle ended in 2003. Now, with that in mind, just listen to this quote and the utter confidence that Mr. Fleury has in the outcome of this court battle. This is page three again. The WCG has stopped us from using Mr. Armstrong's writings. We won in the district court, but lost a split decision in the appeals court. We have lost a battle, but not the war. We lost this court case in the middle of the church crisis years. This is so only because we lost one court battle. Now we must cry out for God to revive his work. The PCG has never needed reviving except in the court case. This is a prophecy about God reviving us. So we need to prepare for a spectacular end. Yes, we are going to get Mr. Armstrong's writings. We must, if we are going to proclaim God's message in the middle of the crisis years just before Christ's return. So that is an absolute stone-cold guarantee by Mr. Fleury. How much more definitive could you possibly get? And the history of this court case reveals that he was right. This is a powerful prophecy about a court battle, and mainly it's talking about injustice in physical courts that God had to rectify. The Habakkuk book in the Bible, if you read the first couple of verses, you can see that Habakkuk's actually crying out to God. He's saying in verse 2 there, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear, even cry out unto you of violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For the spoiler is before me, it should read, and there is he that raises up strife and contention. Now this is talking about one man, one unjust or lawless man, who is doing everything possible to destroy God's work. The language here, you can actually see, is legal language. Verse 3, where it says strife, it says why. And there is he that raises up strife. That word strife is referring to a legal contest. The word contention in that verse 3 means to judge as an umpire. That sounds quite a lot like a court. And then the word grievance is talking about injustice. So right in the first few verses of the book of Habakkuk, you can tell that this is talking about a court struggle. And a lot of injustice is taking place. Verse 4 here says, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked, or the lawless one, does compass about the righteous, or the just one, it should read. Therefore wrong judgment proceeds. So now you have not only an evil man, but you have a just man, or a righteous man, a faithful man, and they're going head-to-head in this court battle. You could not get any better in terms of excitement and drama from any of the blockbuster movies today. And this is real. Here in verse 4, let's see, I have a note here. It says, and this is from Habakkuk, pages 7 and 8. Mr. Fleury is writing about verse 4. There appears to be a contradiction, but the judgment is on two levels. So remember, the first part of the verse says judgment doesn't go forth. The later part says that wrong judgment does go forth. So which one is it? Does judgment not go forth at all? Or does judgment go forth except that it's wrong? Well, Mr. Fleury's saying, within the worldwide Church of God, judgment never goes forth. Its leaders are simply antichrists. But within the courts of the land, sometimes the judgment is perverted. So verse 4 is not a contradiction, like some might think. The beginning of the verse is saying that within God's church, everything is lawless, everything is accepted, and there is no judgment at all. And that's obviously talking about God's rebellious church. Then the second part of the verse is talking about the courts. And within those courts of the land, judgment is going forth, but it's wrong judgment. And this is why God has to intervene and make sure that the court case has the right conclusion. So this is a pretty important point here. Like I said, it's one man who is on God's side and another man who is on Satan's side, and they are going to battle in court. You can see here as well, Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. It's talking about two men once again. It says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just one shall live by his faith." So you have the two men and the contrast there. There's quite a lot of times in the booklet spent on condemning this evil man. You can read pages 14 through 16 of the booklet, and it just shows all of the evils that one man led by Satan did in God's church. Habakkuk 2 verse 5 says, "Yes, also, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, neither keeps at home, who enlarges his desire as hell and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathers unto him all nations and heaps unto him all people." This is talking about an evil man who took charge of God's church. He's hoarding members, he's hoarding money and resources to himself, and he's destroying spiritual lives. God has really the strongest condemnation you can imagine here in the book of Habakkuk for this one lawless leader in God's church. So really, he is destroying people's faith, which leads to them dying spiritually. And Mr. Fleury says, "This is nothing to be casual about. This is what we are up against." That's on page 14 of the Habakkuk booklet. Habakkuk 2 and verse 6 is talking about increasing that which is not his. And what this is talking about is the lawless man within God's church trying to seize assets that don't belong to him. That includes Mystery of the Ages. And how else could he take away that book except by using the courts? Could he physically come to this campus and take away our entire stock of Mystery of the Ages out of the warehouse? No, but he could try to use the courts to keep us from lawfully reprinting and distributing the book. And he certainly did try to do that. Habakkuk 2 verse 9 talks about this evil man coveting a house. And as Mr. Fleury explains in the booklet, it says here on page 15, "We must not forget that God's house was once on the WCG's Pasadena property, the Ambassador Auditorium, the building Mr. Armstrong dedicated to the great God, which he always referred to as the house of God. The auditorium is the only house on earth built and dedicated exclusively to the great God." And since that was written back in 2002-2003, God's church has raised up a new house for him, and that's Armstrong Auditorium on this campus. A lot of this booklet is talking about a stone and a beam as well. If you look at Habakkuk 2 and verse 11, "For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it." In verse 11 there, the stone is talking about Jesus Christ crying out. And the beam is talking about Mystery of the Ages answering that cry. And as Mr. Fleury talks about in this booklet, Mystery of the Ages is the one foundational book that ties all of the truth of God's church together. He writes on page 17, "Mystery of the Ages would unite the WCG and all its dissenting groups if they believed its message." That's the whole issue. They simply don't believe what is in that awesome book. Yet at the same time, many of those people want to prevent anyone from reading it. They don't want to read it, but they also don't want anyone else to read it. Mystery of the Ages should connect all of God's people to the stone, it says later on page 17. It should hold the temple or the church together. It should unify God's people into one voice. But sadly, no church outside the PCG even wants that book, at least not enough to fight for it. Therein lies their main problem. They don't love God's truth, and they lack Habakkuk's faith. So that's the issue that we're dealing with here. This is a court battle between God's rebellious church and God's faithful church, between Satan's man and God's man. And like Mr. Fleury shows here in this booklet, like Mr. Stephen Fleury brings out in the epilogue to the booklet, looking back on the results of the court case, it was a miracle what took place. The entire six-year court battle, the Worldwide Church of God was determined to achieve only one outcome. That was to prevent us from having Mystery of the Ages or any of Mr. Armstrong's other works. They weren't going to negotiate about it in any way. They were hoping to make us pay multiple millions of dollars in legal fees. And that was hopefully going to dismantle the entire church. That was what they wanted. And yet, when this little church refused to stop fighting, they eventually caved in. And this booklet shows, and the book of Habakkuk itself shows, that Christ personally intervened in this court case. He was involved in the outcome. Now, for those of you who are not in this church, it's still an interesting story, because what the Worldwide Church of God did is criminal. And in any other field, it would be prosecuted. And yet, in this case, they pretty much got away with it. God still forced them to hand over Mystery of the Ages and these other works. But just imagine if someone became the CEO of a company and they ran it into the ground, they stole all the shareholders' money, they sold off all the assets that those shareholders had contributed to buy, and basically he heaped a fortune to himself. There have been very big lawsuits and a lot of prison time doled out to people who have committed such crimes. And yet, for some reason, when it comes to a church, there was not a similar punishment. The district court ruled in the PCG's favor, but then an appeals court ruled against it and overturned that decision in favor of the WCG. And then when the PCG appealed to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court wouldn't even hear that appeal. So I thought that was interesting too, with what's going on with Supreme Court nominations lately. There's been a lot of contention about that. When President Trump nominated Neil Gorsuch, when he nominated Justice Kavanaugh, there was a lot of national division stirred up over that. And it goes back for decades, too, with Clarence Thomas in the 90s, Robert Bork before that. It just seems ironic that this court is as cursed as it is, and it has definitely handed out some pretty questionable decisions in recent years. Obviously, they're not being blessed, and maybe part of that is because they make such unjust decisions, like in the case of the PCG's court case. Pages 16 through 21 are specifically talking about the content of Mystery of the Ages and why it's so important. Like I mentioned earlier, Mystery of the Ages is the foundational piece of literature of the Philadelphia Church of God, and it was written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. And once the church received the copyright to that, we were able to start distributing that message to the largest audience possible, which is the church's main purpose. Without that book, who knows if the church would even exist today? That's why Christ had to intervene. So, Mystery of the Ages, it's talking about it here on page 18. It says, in the Habakkuk booklet, Mr. Fleury's writing, The first mystery solved in Mystery of the Ages is who and what is God? That is the most magnificent and wonderful question ever asked in the universe. Knowing that brings us all together. All people will have to learn that truth, or they will have no future. Where is God today? If he is alive, where is he? If you know who and what God is, you will know where he is doing his work. You will know where the stone is. You will know about the law, the government, and every other doctrine, all of which are unified by that connecting beam, Mystery of the Ages. Like it says there, if you know who and what God is, you will know where he is doing his work. Well, what church today owns the copyright to Mystery of the Ages? What church today is boldly proclaiming the truth of that book? There is only one, and it makes it pretty plain where God is working today. You have chapter 2 summarized on page 19 of the Habakkuk booklet. Chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages addresses angels and evil spirits. This book exposes Satan as no other book on earth. The devil hates and fears exposure most of all. He is in a fitful rage and is trying to destroy Mystery of the Ages. Never has this work suffered such wrath as in the court case he's talking about. So far, he has been dangerously successful, but we must not let him succeed. God is on our side. Now each one of us must walk by his faith. So hopefully you're getting a better understanding of what was at stake in this court case and why it was so important for the Philadelphia Church of God to win the copyright of Mystery of the Ages. What's astounding about the outcome of the court case is that the Worldwide Church of God, after a while, just didn't want to fight anymore. So basically, the Philadelphia Church of God outlasted them and outfought them until the WCG was willing to settle outside of court. And of all days for that settlement to take place, it was on January 16th, 2003. January 16th, the 17-year anniversary of Mr. Armstrong's death back in 1986. Now, you know that the WCG is aware, they had to have been aware of that date. And yet, of all dates for them to basically concede the war to the PCG, they chose January 16th. In reality, God chose that date for them. He forced them to submit on the very anniversary of Mr. Armstrong's death. So that just right there shows you a lot of God's power, that he could even force a church as rebellious as that to settle on that very day. So going back to the present day, going back to our concert series, our college campuses, the church plane, and all of the different magazines and books and booklets and websites and TV and radio programs being produced by this work, we know that in large part all of this still exists because of the outcome of that court case. And the outcome of that court case was guaranteed by Mr. Fleury back in 2002, before the court case even concluded. That just shows you the power of God's prophecies. And if we just listen and believe, that kind of power can be on our side as well. So that is a quick summary of the Habakkuk booklet. You can find it and read it and download it and order a physical copy of it at thetrumpet.com. And there's so many other pieces of literature there that can change your life. So please go to thetrumpet.com, find yourself a copy, and study that. And we will be coming back next week. I say that now. Hopefully that happens. We get back on the air next Friday. Until then, I'm Grant Turgeon, and this has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts.
to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday.